Got a question for you. Tell me, can your God move mountains? Can your God move mountains? What are you saying? What are you thinking? Well, I'll tell you this much. My God can. I know what you're thinking now. Well, go ahead, prove it. Prove it. All I see moving mountains are bulldozers and tractors and floods and stuff like that. Well, I got a story for you. Actually, it's a sermon that God has laid on my heart. When I'm finished with it, I'd like to hear you answer that question to yourself or to others that may ask you the same question. Can God move mountains? My God can move mountains. A fellow I used to know a long time ago that I had been witnessing to for about several years or so. In fact, every time he saw me coming, he'd run and hide. You know, around the corner of the building or a different room, shut the door. You've been there, right? Okay. He'd run and hide when he saw me coming. He was that giant of a man, so he wasn't afraid of me. I mean, he could have clobbered me any day of the week. Hands were twice my size. His hands, actually, I'd not seen such large hands on anybody in my life, never. His first name was Charles. This is true. His first name was Charles. I say was because he's deceased now. He used to hang out down by the docks down in my hometown, Pictou, Nova Scotia, Canada. Pictou, Nova Scotia, Canada. I don't live there anymore. I live in Ontario, but I remember my childhood. It was quite a childhood I had then. I wasn't saved. Anyway, I saw him one day lift. You ready for this? I saw him lift a ship's anchor off the dock. I don't mean put it up over his head. I mean lift it. Well, I couldn't, and I knew of no one else that could. And I never even gave God a thought because I wasn't saved back then. He was a nice sort of guy, Charles was. The only real problem with Charles, though, was he began to think that he was stronger than God. Now, he wasn't a Christian. But as far as the God he knew, he was stronger than God. He began to think that. Especially when he was liquored up. You know what that is, eh? Drunk. Had lots of the familiar oil in him. You get in the taverns and from the bootleggers along the way. Yep. He really thought he could do just about anything. I remember, as I say, I remember one of his favorite sayings. He would say, "Do you think God is stronger than me? Do you think God is stronger than me?" And I used to say to him, Charlie, I got a rock in my garden that's so big, I can't lift it." Did you ever see a rock like that, Charles? Charles quickly replied, "A rock so big you can't lift it? Yeah, I call them God rocks." "Then why not ask God to move it?" He was afraid. He didn't see the rock, so anyway, I tempted him a little bit. Now that's my question, Charles. Can God, are you listening? Can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Wow. That wasn't my saying. I got it from somebody else. Charles thought for a moment. Then he replied, "God can do whatever he wants." I paused for a moment. And then I let him have it. Exactly, Charles. Exactly. God can even make a rock so big that he can't lift it if he wanted to. But what sense would that make? There's something else even more important, I said, than lifting rocks. That God can do, I mean. I remember my mom telling me about God and some of the things that God was and did. And even though I wasn't a what you call a real believer, I still maintained a lot of the words in my heart. I said, you know what God can do? He can lift your sin. He can lift your sin. That's what my mother told me. Which is the heaviest load man will ever carry, his sin. Did you know that? That's the heaviest load a man will ever carry, his sin load. He can lift it off you and take it on himself. And let me tell you this. There is no heavier burden that Jesus Christ has lifted off mankind and carried himself than man's own sin. No way. He carried the sin of the whole world at the cross. And he nailed it to the cross. Okay, they nailed him to the cross. But he allowed them to do so. But you know something, Jesus couldn't carry your sins if you didn't have faith in him. He wouldn't. And the faith of a mustard seed is all you need. That's all you need. The Bible says in that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The key word for strength for the sinner is faith. Faith. If you live by faith, then what you do is you give your weaknesses over to God. You give them over to Christ. Give them over to the cross. You can't handle them all yourself. In fact, you can't handle any of them. If it's real, you might think, well, faith will produce works. Well, it is real and it does produce works. And if there's no fruit from those works, then there is, guess what, no real faith. No real faith. In Matthew, we read that if ye have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Oh, yes. You see, Jesus was responding to his disciples after he had healed a demonic boy who was possessed. The problem his disciples had are common amongst the multitudes today. We may not think so, but they are. Because they all come under one heading. Lack of faith. Lack of faith. I think there's a fear factor in there also. You know, the story is told, and true to my knowledge, of an elderly lady who lived high in a cabin in the Andes Mountains. She was in poor health due to her age and only had visitors once in a while, not very often. But she was a praying woman, and was ready to meet the Lord. But before she died, she had one final desire. You see, where she lived in this cabin, high in the hills, in the mountains, she couldn't see the ocean. And nobody could take her there, it seemed. But she always wanted to see the ocean. It was some distance off the other side of the mountains. day after day, she would sit in her cabin at the window on a rocker and stare out over the mountains. Oh, the mountains were beautiful to look at, but she wanted to see what was beyond the mountains. And if you were to visit her, you would hear her lowly voice speaking to God in prayer. As that one day before she died, she asked God that she might see the ocean. Might see the ocean. That was what she wanted. Well, much time passed, and in her solitude she would speak openly to God as a child would to her mother. There were two verses out of the book of Job that she memorized and would say them over and over and over every day, from Job 19:25-26. Those verses were, "So I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Wow. What a prayer that is. That just gets me. I mean, what faith. Faith immeasurable. Over and over and over, day after day. And at the end, she would also say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." The days turned into weeks, and then months, and then years. And she would always talk to Jesus like he was sitting right next to her in that cabin. Right beside her at the window, looking out over the mountains. Her faith was unceasing. Did she have the faith of a mustard seed? I guess so, huh? I'd say the faith of many mustard seeds. How many hearing this message today can relate to such wonderful and pure faith as that lady had living on the mountains? When I think of her, I think of Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That was her faith. Hope that she would see the ocean. Her faith was the evidence that one day she would. Do you not think that the old woman in the mountains had such a faith? Imagine, if you will, how God must be pleased with her, and yet all that he ever asked for was the faith of a tiny mustard seed. Wow. Do you have that? I'd like to say I do. I pray you do too. You know, there are many churches today that pound on the pulpit and roar through a modern sound system. But why? Why? Not to give you God's word or to plant it in your heart and soul where it belongs and where God can use it? Just seems like they just want to hear themselves talk. And above all that, they'll have you dancing and rolling in the aisles. Not all of them, but some of them. Get more every day. Even frolicking about like drunken sailors. Like drunken sailors? Oh, yes. You're filled with the Spirit, all right. But not the Holy Spirit. Not the Spirit of truth and love and righteousness and direction. No. But an unclean spirit that crept in unawares. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit from above. No, sir. No, ma'am. Day after day after day, that old lady would pray and then pray some more. Praying without ceasing, that's what the Word of God says. She didn't know if her prayer would ever be answered, but she kept on praying anyway, because she loved God, she believed in God. She would pray and rock in her chair and stare at the many mountaintops that blocked her view to the ocean. Nobody once offered to take her to the ocean. And anyway, she was too ill to travel. Her lips would move and tremble. You can picture that, can't you? Her lips would move and tremble. And if you listen real close, you would hear her say in a low whisper, "Just once, dear Jesus. Just once." My friends, I know not all that she said, but I do know for sure that her faith was true. I know that. It's been said that faith can move mountains. You've heard that. Surely all of you have heard that. The story doesn't tell us exactly how old the lady was. But what it does tell us is there is nothing that faith cannot do, including moving mountains. Right? Right. One glorious morning, Jesus will come. One glorious morning, His work is done. Oh, I love that song. I love it. One glorious morning. One glorious morning, as this feeble soul looked out over the mountaintops, suddenly a mighty wind began to shake her cabin, and the great roar of thunder rattled the shutters as they just flew off into the wind. It was more like a hurricane or a cyclone, wasn't it? The woman gripped tightly at her rocker as the mighty hand of God tore asunder her tiny abode and blinded her eyes. Then just as suddenly as the hand of her maker tore away the unyielding landscape and changed its very countenance, just as suddenly, during this torrent of wind, probably rain and everything else, then suddenly there was a great stillness, a calm, as though the universe had taken rest in the palm of our mighty God. What about at the cross? After the soldiers and the curiosity seekers had left, can you not envision a loud silence? Do you know what a loud silence is? So loud it was deafening, you couldn't hear it. And then the groaning, the weeping of his followers. There lay before the eyes of that faithful believer a sight of euphoric magnificence that only the hand of the greatest architect of all could provide. My friends, whether this story be true or not, I cannot tell. But this much I believe, that that very day, back in time, the mighty hand of God reached down and reshaped a complete mountain range in answer to a faithful believer's prayer. I believe that. How beautiful was the ocean and its undying foam? Mark 9:23 tells us, all things are possible to him or her that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. How about you? Had any miracles lately? I can tell you this much. I for one believe this story is true. You see, I believe in a God who can move mountains. How about you? How about you? Isn't God wonderful? Isn't he just wonderful? You know, there are many, many stories that don't always make it to our ears from all over God's creation. And sometimes you'll hear them from a public orator, people who had definitely been brought back to good health by miracles from above. Now, some of you may look and say, well, the doctor couldn't do anything until finally they got the right kind of medicine and they decided, well, let's try this one. And finally they got something that worked and the person could maybe see a little bit better. Or maybe walk a little bit better. Or maybe feel a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? There are lots of miracles going on all around us. You know what? I don't profess or claim to be anybody special in God's family. I'm just another sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. But I can tell you something. I've been down a road from the day I gave my life over to Christ. I never believed I would travel. I've seen sunsets that I'd never seen before. I felt love that I didn't know ever could exist. I've lived a life not filled with easy going and you know, things handed to you on a silver spoon. I don't mean that. I've gone through difficult times. I just want to relate quickly one time when I was witnessing at a senior's home down in Nova Scotia. I'd been doing this for 7 years and I made my rounds thoroughly and I kept going over and over again and I felt that there was no more to witness to. That I'd done what God wanted me to do. But I wasn't sure. So I kept praying about it and praying about it. And when I remember one night I had finished and I had a rather tough time relating to people. Trying to get them to listen to me. I don't know why the Holy Spirit was always moving, but there was another spirit in there, too, that was moving against me. Anyway, when I left the old folks' home that night, I went out into my car, and I got behind the wheel, and I was just ready to drive off, and then suddenly, I just fell apart, literally. I broke up. The tears I cried, I've never cried that hard in my life. Never. And I can't tell you, no, I can't, I won't tell you that I heard the voice of God. But God spoke to my heart. As I sat there in that vehicle, just crying my eyes out. I knew I was crying because God was going to do something special. I didn't know what. He spoke to my heart. I said, God, what would you have me do? He spoke to my heart in a very deliberate way. And what he said was, and I'm not quoting him because I didn't hear his voice, but he spoke to my heart, and God does that. He can do that. And he said to me, Tom, your work here is finished. Your work here is finished. Oh, my. I knew right away I was not to go back to that home again. So you see, there was a woman in there that I've been trying to give over to the Lord for all those years. And she had passed on that very night. And God had called me out of that particular hole. And he had new assignments for me. That's all I can tell you. I know the movement, the hand of God. I know it. I've seen it. I want to thank you for listening and ask that you please, please tell others about this message, Lord, that the Lord has laid to my heart, rather. Please tell others. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.